this morning for divine illumination and revelation, insights and understandings that we haven't had before from heaven, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for your restoration power, your restoration truth working mightily in the hearts and lives of these, your precious people. And we give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise for everything that's said and done. And you alone deserve all praise and worthy of all praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. We're going to talk about today as a both communion teaching and series teaching, From Devastation to Restoration, part number 3. From Devastation to Restoration. Everybody say, God wants to take me from devastation to full and total restoration. Amen. So it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now notice that there are times, plural, of restoration and times, plural, of refreshing. That means there'll be more than many. One. There will be many. Amen. So notice that also that the restoration of all things precedes the coming of the Lord, because the phrase whom the Lord must receive, heaven must receive, is literally whom heaven must retain or keep back or hold back. Heaven must retain, keep, or hold back in the Greek. So we must realize that before Jesus comes back, there's going to be a full restoration of things. Amen. Because our Lord's coming back for a glorious church, not a devastated church. Now, we've defined this before out of the Merriam-Webster dictionary, but we're now defining restoration and restore out of the W.E. Vines Expository Dictionary of Old Testament and New Testament words. He defines restoration as, one, to set in order, two, to repair. Think about that. God's setting things in order. He's repairing. The restoration of estates to rightful owners, and for the balancing of accounts. The balancing of accounts. To restore means to give back. This is also out of W.E. Vine's Depository Dictionary of Old Testament, New Testament words. Restore means to give back, to deliver, renewal of a covenant broken. That's what this table represents. It represents our covenant of blood with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we take the communion meal, it's a meal that heals. It's a renewing and a reactivating our covenant rights and our covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father God. Are you seeing this? Okay. And it means to mend. It means to giving or bringing a person back, to mend or furnish completely. Now, Deuteronomy 30, verse 2 and 3, very insightful verses. And then verse 9 and 10, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, says, if at that time you and your children return to the Lord. Now, notice the conditions. Remember, we read in Acts chapter 3, that started off with repent and be converted. There's times that we have to repent. And around the communion table, it's commonly referred to as examine yourself. Judge yourself. If things are devastated in your life, then you need to judge yourself and get back on to seeing restoration occur in your life. Now, here it says again, verse 2, Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. If at that time you and your children return to the Lord, and if you, that day you obey with all your heart and all your soul all the commands I give you this day, then then the Lord will restore your fortunes. Now, King James says that he will turn your captivity. So everybody say it with me. Say, God is turning my captivity, and he's restoring all things to me. Amen. So he will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations you were scattered. Look, skip down to verse 9. We see the Lord God will then make you successful in everything you do. He will give you many children, numerous livestock, and he will cause for your fields to produce abundant harvest. For the Lord will again delight in being good to you as he was to your ancestors. The Lord your God will delight in you if you obey the voice, his voice, and keep the commands and decrees written in the book of instruction. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And so we've shared before that Satan, friends, is out to destroy and devastate our lives. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. To devastate means to destroy or ruin or overwhelm or overpower. But whatever you're going through right now, it's not too big for God to handle. Now think about what you're going through physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, family-wise, job, career-wise. Whatever you're going through right now, it's not too big for God. Everybody say it's not too big for God to handle. Turn to someone next to you and point at them and be nice to them. Look them, smile. Look him in the face and say, did you know the stuff you are going through is not too big for God to handle? Oh, all right. Look at somebody else and tell them. Some of y'all not convinced. Praise God. Smile at him real big. Look him right in the eyes and say, did you know, my friend, that the stuff that you're going through is not too big for God to handle? All right. See, in the natural, it may seem as though it's impossible and there's no way out. But that's in the natural. But it's not in Christ. And not in God. And not in the Word of God. Nor in the will of God for your life. In God, there is always a way out. In God, there is always a way out. See, God is famous for turning things around. He is our restorer, and he's our master restorer. See, it's never over until God says it's over. The devil might tell you and harass you and torment you and say, it's over. They're coming to get it. They're coming to take something from you. You're going to lose this time. No, it's not over until who says it's over? God says it's over. Come on, say it with confidence. It's not over until God says it's over. And God never says it's over until you win. I don't care if you have to go extra innings or extra overtime. He's ordained you to win. He's ordained you to always triumph in Christ. He's ordained you to have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're destined to victory. You're destined to triumph. You're destined to overcome. Not every once in a while, all the time. Everybody say all the time. So as we reflect and remember the Lord, as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive communion, we must remember to realign our faith, and our focus on his faithfulness and his great mercy to restore us. So extend your thinking to look at the communion as a table of restoration. Because our Father God is a turnaround specialist. He is a master restorer. Amen. Restoration is a part of our covenant with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we remember Jesus, his broken body, and his shed blood, we say, God is my restorer. Think about all the things you may have lost, been stolen, or broken in your life. Restoration is a big part of God's grace, mercy, and love toward us. Now look at Romans chapter 3, verse 25 through 27. It says, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's a powerful scripture right there. Where is your boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, not by what we do, but the law of faith. Belief and trust in what he has done. Now, this word propitiation, fancy Bible term, which simply means this, mercy seat. So when we look at communion, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying we're going to the mercy seat. And in Exodus 25, 22, the Bible tells us that it says, and there I will meet you and speak with you. God's getting ready to meet with some of you and speak to us. Where? From above the mercy seat. Are you listening to me? You're going to get answers. You're going to get direction. You're going to get solutions from your restorer, Father God. From between the two cherubs, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything I will give you. About everything I'm going to give you. About everything he's going to give you. In the commandment to the children of Israel. I'm saying that again. He's going to talk to you and show you and meet with you and over the mercy seat about everything he's going to give you. Everything he wants you to believe and trust him for to restore back to you. Let me say it that way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Propitiation simply means restoration. Listen to me very carefully. It's in your handout. It means restoration of fellowship of a relationship of fellowship and blessing. Relationship, fellowship, and blessing. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 23 to 27. He said, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will what? Restore. Everybody say, God will restore. Look how much he will restore. He will restore the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be what put to shame. And then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. God's going to restore you. This table promises that God promises us by this table, I'm your restorer. Amen. He wants us to remember that he is a master restorer. He is your turnaround specialist. Hallelujah. Now, I'll reread the prophecies that we've given, and just so to continue to stir up and stimulate your encouragement and faith towards God's restorative work in your life. In the supernatural leadership, Pastor Mark Hankins, who operates in the office of a prophet and teacher, he says, in 2019 will come a measure of blessing like you've never seen. God has taken you from a small place of struggle and shame to a large place of abundance. There are greater doors, anointing, and blessing. The gospel go around the world. Jesus is your shepherd, and he's leading you to a new place he has prepared. You ought to be looking for new places and new graces and new faces. Hallelujah. A new place for you to be refreshed. Receive the word of God, go in the spirit and in prayer, and everything will be enlarged for you. Declare that 2019 is a year of restoration. God is bringing me from a small place of shame and confusion into a wealthy place of abundance and refreshing. 2019 is the year of receiving double for my trouble. Amen. Somebody said glory to God. Now, Dr. Jerry Savelle, who also operates in the office of a prophet and teacher, said it this way, prophesied this not too long ago. He said, my word is at work, so be at peace. The works of your adversary are about to cease. He thought he had you, but I've always come through. I'm turning things around just like I said I would do. It's never over until I've had my say. That's why I'm called the truth and the way. I watch over my word. When you choose to stand, I bring deliverance again and again. So never give up and refuse to give in. It's almost over. You're about to win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody just look, come on, just lift our hands and thank God for the word that's been given. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say this. They say, my Father God is turning my captivity and restoring all things in my life, in Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. So what's our part to participate and cooperate with his restoration work? Friends, it's important for you and I to demonstrate our faith. Demonstrate our faith in God's ability and willingness to turn our captivity and restore us by three areas. You got to demonstrate. We often said the rejoicing factor is so critical because your celebration is a demonstration of your expectation. Amen. That's why when people just look and stare at the screen and don't praise God, can't lift up their hand, their celebration is low. But your celebration is a demonstration of your expectation. Amen. And you have to demonstrate your faith, not in yourself, but in God's ability and his willingness to turn your captivity and restore all things back to you in your life. First of all, you got to do it by decreeing and saying it. Now, when you decree something, you're not weak and timid. You declare it. You say it with boldness, with confidence, with faith fire in your belly. Faith fire in your belly. You're saying, restore. Restore. God is restoring things, all things in my life. My Father God is turning my captivity. Glory to God. And then second, you make your thoughts conform to God's word. You have to renew your mind daily. You have to develop a restoration mentality. That if your mind has been, your memory's failing, your faculties are failing, your flesh is failing, your finances are failing. Come on now. God can restore these things back to you. But you got to be thinking restoration. Don't be thinking, oh, my God. Amen. You have to cast down and cast out doubt, evil imaginations, and aggressively resist the thoughts of defeat and failure. You have to resist thoughts of defeat and failure. The devil will bring thoughts of defeat. He said, look, your money bag got a whole bunch of holes in it. Every time you get a little money, it's something break down. You running out of money. Come on now. What are you thinking? And what are you saying to that? It looks like all H-E-double-L is running through your family. Are you thinking restoration or are you thinking H-E-double-L? Come on now, some of y'all need to get your head down out of your phones and stop meditating on the lies of the devil. The devil just wants to keep you down and get you offended at God. I'm going to talk about that later. Third, your words must agree with God's word. Not just in church, because everybody has two-hour, three-hour mouth control. But at home, come on now, around your family and friends, don't get loose lips. In your store, in the traffic, when everybody said, man, milk prices going up, gas prices going up, you meet somebody, and you don't agree with that. Amen. You say, my God, Father God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory. I'm no longer a $5 gas filler. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now, get out of the fire. I'm a filler. Praise God. Hallelujah. In your car, in traffic, what are you saying? On your job, your business environments, praise the Lord. See, you have to believe and do our part. We have to believe and do our part to release faith, to release our faith, to realign our focus, and to be relentless in our faithfulness. You got to grab this word like a dog grabbing a bone or rope and hold on to it and don't let it go. Amen. And so we do that by these seven practices. First, number one, we proclaim it. Isaiah 42:9 says, behold, the former things have come to pass, the new thing I declare, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Why is he telling us things he wants to do beforehand? Come on, church. Come on, class. He tells us things he wants to do beforehand through prophecy and through promises of the scriptures, through words of promise and words of prophecy, so we can say the same thing. He's telling us what he wants to do before he does it. Why? So we can cooperate with him and proclaim the same thing. Amen. Look at what he says, verse 22. This is what he wanted to do. But this is the people robbed and plundered, all of them that are snared in holes. See, that looks like people getting devastated. And they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers for plunder. And no one says, keep going, restore. No one says restore. Everybody's saying what's going on. Everybody's saying what the devil is doing. Everybody's talking about how much devastation I'm experiencing. But no one's saying restore. And see, God doesn't have to say a lot to do a lot. He just needs you to get up in the middle of your bed and yell out from your heart and fire of faith and say, restore, restore, restore. Hallelujah. You give God something to work with. So we must boldly proclaim, declare, restore. You got to declare that my Father God, come on, let's say it again one more time. My Father God is turning my captivity. He's restoring all things in my life in Jesus' name, all to his glory, his honor, and his praise. Hallelujah. He wants to restore you. So you got to proclaim it. You got to pray it. Number two, you got to profess it. Number three, in other words, it's faith confessions create reality. See, what you rehearse becomes your reality. In other words, what you say is what you get. And what you got is what you said. What you confess, you eventually possess. You'll never rise above the level of your confession of faith. In other words, your words rule you. They dominate you. They have creative power to keep you captive or to set you free. Amen? And we said you have to speak, Mark 11, 22, 23, speak to your mountain, not talk about your mountain, not speak about your mountain. You got to speak to it. And when you speak to that mountainous problem that needs a dose of the restoration work of God in your life, you just yell out, restore. Restore. You thinking about it as you're driving through traffic on 410 or 1604 or 281 or I-10 or 37, 35, wherever you're driving, and that is locked in traffic, you just say, Lord, restore. Restoring. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. You got to develop a restoration mindset and a restoration mouthpiece. You got to put your mouthpiece in. Your mouthpiece should be colored with restoration words. The language of restoration should be flowing from your lips out of your heart of faith in Jesus' name every day in every way. Amen. Number four, you got to protect it. Because, you know, when the word comes, John Mark chapter 4 tells us in the parable of the sower, Satan comes immediately. What is he trying to do? Steal that word that was sown in your heart. He comes immediately to steal that word. So if you don't guard your heart, you don't protect the word. You can walk right out of here today, this afternoon, and forget about the fact and the promise and the prophecies that God wants to restore all things to your life. He wants to turn your captivity. You can go back thinking about how miserable, how horrible, how ugly things are in my life. I am in devastation. You got to protect it. Amen. They should be, these words and promises and prophecies of restoration should be jealously guarded and vigilantly defended in your heart and mind. Proverbs 4:23 and 24 says this, guard your heart with above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Avoid it. Perverse talk is reverse of what God says and what's to do. Perverse talk is talking about the situation like the devil's winning. Perverse talk is talking like you're never going to have the money. The marriage is never going to get restored. The family member's never coming back. That's perverse talk. He said, avoid it. Avoid talking about what use is serving God. God ain't doing, when it's going to happen. What's God doing about this? He said, stay away from corrupt speech. You having bad times on your job and God, and you disturbed and there's no peace on your job, you ought to yell restore in that job. Go to that lunchroom or the bathroom and yell restore. Because perverse talk is to get involved with everybody else who's gossiping about the boss, backstabbing people, talking about how ugly it is and how people complaining all the time, and you fall in that same muddy, murky, devilish, miserable water. You drinking that same Kool-Aid. Y'all seeing this? The scripture's right there on the screen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys. Number five, practice the word. Now, many of us played some sort of athletic sports or extracurricular activities. You know, you sung in the choir at school, or maybe perhaps you were band, or you music inclined, or you did something where you had to practice. Well, this is, you had to practice this. That means he says, say restore. That means I don't say once, and then for the whole week, I don't say anything else. That means I practice daily. Amen. I practice before I go to work. You practice, you put your faith to work by practicing words of restoration. We're giving you words of restoration promises. We have a whole bunch of them. If one of us can go get them, they're in the office there. But we had words of restoration promises. We had the prophecies. We've got the financial scriptures for you to what? Practice. Put them in your mouth. See, the lazy Christian just wants God to do everything. Let me just cast everything up to God. And I don't have to do nothing with God. Wants your faith to work. I'm talking about putting your faith in work to work so you give God something to work with. Amen? Six is praise God for it. That means intentionally, on purpose, every day you got to rejoice. Over what? His promise and the prophecies of restoration. That means you got to get excited about it. You got to recite them. You got to thank God for them. You got to declare them over your life. You got to praise God and appreciate the fact that he is your restorer. And he's turning your captivity and he's restoring all good things to your life. Are y'all seeing this today? So you got to thank him for his restoration power working in your life. Thank and praise the Lord that he's turning your captivity and restoring all things. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So the seventh, you got to preach it. It's real simple. They all start with P. You got to share the good news of Jesus and testify of God's restoring grace in your life. You tell others God's restoring. What happened? How did this miracle occur? How did this marvelous thing occur in your life? God turned my captivity. And he restored this back to my life. Amen. That's honoring the God of restoration. Amen. You're spreading the good news about God who is our restorer. See, our Father God is ready to restore everything the adversary has stolen from you and me. He's ready. This communion table says, I'm committed, I'm all in to restore you. Full. 100%. Amen? And so, to turn away our devastation, any devastation in our life, and to restoration, in order to do so, he must have us do what? Declare restoration. God's instructions are never complex. His word brings light, and it gives understanding to the simple, not simple-minded, but just gives clarity and simplicity. God says, all you got to do to get me to work with it, from your heart of faith, say and declare, restore. Restore. See, some of us haven't realized that God is not just a savior and redeemer and a ruler. He is a restorer. He's a judge of all, but part of his judgmentship is to restore back to his children everything that was stolen, lost, broken in their life. See, you and I should charge the atmosphere with restoration. These are the days of restoration, a season of restoration, a year of restoration. See, our Father God is restoring to the church everything Satan has taken out of the church. Jesus, our Lord, said, be of good cheer, John 16:33. And here's the cheer, R-E-S-T-O-R-E, restore. You ought to be leading the cheers around your house. R-E, give me an R, give me an E, give me an S, give me a T, give me an O-R-E, restore, 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 restore. And if you're gymnastically inclined, jump up and give a kick. Give a high kick. Praise God. Wave your pom-poms around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody say restore. Restore. So you got to get up and get your faith in motion. Don't just say, well, that's a nice word. It's a nice message. God wants your faith to get up and get in motion. 2 Kings 7:3 tells us of the four lepers, the men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why sit here until we die? Why are you just sitting around waiting until Jesus come back before you even get anything back that was stolen from you? Why are you sitting up here letting the devil take this and take that and take this and take that and take that and take that and continue to take and steal and steal and kill and destroy? And then we just hold on until Jesus comes and raptures us away. No, get back everything the devil's taken from you. Amen. Starting now. Are you listening to me? How did their motion start? With their mouths. Why sit here till we die? Why do you sit here until the devil takes away everything we're thinking, well, maybe I must not deserve that. Maybe I must not have been too good enough for that. This is a table of mercy. And part of the mercy of God is to restore back to you whether you deserve it or not, because Jesus Christ deserves it. and he died and paid the price for it. Are you listening to me? So get it back. Everybody say, get it back. Say what God's word says. Decree it, establish it, get it in motion. Not just once, but morning, night, and noon. Charge the air with restoration in your home. Get it in your spirit and start shouting and declaring, restore, restore, restore. Are y'all getting this? Yeah. Write down the things the enemy has stolen and destroyed for you and you've lost for the last 5 years. Because he said, I'll restore the years. Now, by next week, we ought to have everybody have a list, my restoration list, of things that have been lost, stolen, broken by the devil in my life for the last 5 years. That should be a minimum. If you got faith for 10 years or 15 years, you got decade type of faith, go back further. And begin declaring restore, restoration. Somebody say glory to God. I'm not going to give you a handout or a paper to write your stuff down. You write it down as the Holy Spirit gives you. Write it down on your phone or whatever. But everybody ought to have a restoration list that they're believing God. You know, you lost a job unfairly by the work of the devil and made all that money, or they took away the bonus, or you're something like that. You claim what? Restoration. Somebody said, glory to God. Amen. Obviously, to receive something, conceive something in your spirit, takes more than just merely attending churches, more than reading your Bible once a week or more than hearing a sermon once a time. That's why we repeat it over again, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. See, if you can't conceive it or imagine it, it hasn't become a reality. It will never become a reality in your life. In other words, you got to get it inside of you. The eye of your spirit, your faith vision has to see it. I see the money coming back. I see the children coming back. I see the stuff coming back. Because God wants to restore things in your life. Faith comes by hearing. So that means you have to receive this word of restoration appropriately. If you can't see it turning around, the Lord turning your captivity, and the Lord restoring to you, you haven't received the word of God of restoration appropriately in your life yet. Amen. You need to spend more time in the word and more time with the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is our minister of revelation. His primary ministry, the Holy Spirit, is that of revelation. John 16:13 says, when he comes, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Truth is in the Bible, and show you things to come. Things are outside the Bible. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Holy Spirit will lead you to the scriptures that you need to stand on, that you need to fix and focus your faith on for restoration. And then he will show you things to come. This is coming back to you. Now, that thing may be finances. That's coming back to you. But that's not specifically in the Bible. But that's a thing to come. He will show you things to come. Are you listening to me? Because remember, alarming symptoms, negative signs, physical, emotional, and financial struggles, and stressful situations have a purpose by the devil to move you from faith to fear. Because fear brings torment or pressure. Pressure that he brings is pressure on your belief system. To move your belief from faith in God and faith in his word and what he has said he will do to faith in what the devil's doing, which is fear. Well, this is good stuff today. And so fear contaminates our faith. It breaks our focus and it disrupts our faithfulness. Because he wants to distract you and disrupt you from even being faithful to the Lord. And faith to his word. Why? Because I got all these problems. You walk around looking like a toad frog in the West Texas storm, swollen up, puffed up, pouting. He's got you. Satan's telling, another one bites the dust here. Are you listening to me? I mean, I know y'all can relate to this because we all have been challenged in certain areas in our lives. So let's look at delays and close with this thought of why they happen and how they deal with them. Because we look at the scripture sources of delays in our lives, we see that there are three. One, God. Two, second, and third, you. Sometimes we're the cause. So it could be that God orchestrated a delay in your life because he's arranging a divine appointment. Everybody say divine appointment. Up ahead. We read in Acts chapter 16 that in the first part of the verse, in verse 6 and 7, we see that the Holy Spirit forbid them to go there. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. See, sometimes we overreact instead of respond to the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. But God's setting you up for a divine appointment. He said, I've got already people set in motion to restore you. But later in that chapter, in verse number 9 and 10, we see the Macedonian call occur, where Paul seen the man from Thessalonica in a vision saying, come help us. And then the door came open. It was what? A divine appointment. See, God, your restorer, is setting things in motion and setting things up so you can be fully restored. You might not even know who it is and know where they're coming from, but God knows. That's why you had to trust him. Somebody say, glory to God. And so we're banging our head and say, when, Lord, where's it going to come from? Who's going to do it? And you're looking around at people instead of looking up to God. See, God stood between Paul and his company and their plans, forbidding them to preach in Asia because he had another plan. The timing was not right for them, but God had a divine appointment waiting for them. Now, delays can also be hindered, result of being hindered by Satan. You can be hindered by Satan. The word hinder means to impede or to detain. In Thessalonians 2, 17 and 18, Satan was hindering Paul, because he said, we endeavored to come to you, but Satan hindered us. He created a delay. So there's times you have to deal with the devil. When he said to the disciples in Mark chapter 4, get to the other side. And what does Satan do? He brought on a hurricane-type storm of wind to try to crash the boat. What was he trying to? Trying to hinder them from crossing over to the other side. Sometimes the devil will try to hinder you from going over to the other side. So you might just say, Satan, you take your hands off. I declare restore. Then the angels, who are mighty through God, ministers of flame of fire, will come around and surround you and begin to help you. Somebody said, glory to God. There's more for you than there are against you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? So we could be the cause of delays for various reasons. Let's turn over to Haggai chapter 1. I'll read it off the screen. You guys put it up there. Haggai 1, 6, and 7. I want you to notice something. Can you put it up there? And he who earns wages puts it in a bag with holes. Thus said the Lord of hosts, do what? Now notice he doesn't say, consider the devil's ways. He says, consider your ways. See, it was the people's ways that created their delay. In building, what the main theme was, build. So get the wealth, bring the wealth, the money, and build the church. I have to put it into contemporary language. So they were supposed to go, get, bring, and build. Well, that's simple instruction, right? But he said, you dwelling in houses, and he said, why is my house not built? Why is my church not being done? And then he says to them, consider your ways. Sometimes we get so introspective and think that we're the only ones going through drama and trauma And we forget about our responsibilities and our assignment that's corporate, that's collective. Because if you have a us four no more or me, myself, and mine, then you're in survival mode and self-centered mode. Well, praise the Lord. I may be not talking real good about that. Oh, praise the, he said what? They said, consider who? Consider your ways. See, they created, so the people had been in exile, but God had delivered them and brought them back into their homeland. And he instructed them to rebuild the temple, which was lying in ruins. In other words, he gave them a corporate or collective assignment. See, it's this assignment, the vision is not just one person. The vision is ours to catch, to carry, and to convey. It's ours. It's the vision of this house. Amen. It's the mission of this church. When we say, welcome to your church, we are part of the body of the church. Somebody say glory to God. See, I want you to know something. When the enemy attacks and people mock our living by faith, even though we could lose our focus. And we've often said it before, if the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. If he can't pollute you, he'll dilute you. That's his whole MO or method of operations. And so we lose our focus when our vision becomes blurred and we can eventually give up before the manifestation comes. So we need to be aware of three particular things. These are three particular things I want us to examine ourselves about as we take the communion table. Number one, disinterest. Disinterest. Number two, discouragement. And number three, dissatisfaction. Disinterest, discouragement, and dissatisfaction. You, when you become disinterested in what God said and the vision that he's given you, apathy sets in. Because you don't only have an individual identity in Christ, who you are in Christ, what you possess in him. You have a corporate identity. You have a place. You have a grace. You have a race to run. You have a part to play. You are a part taker of the grace on that ministry, of that church, of that local assembly, that corporate identity, whose family you belong to. Amen. And when you become apathetic, we become passive. You yield to mockery. You're not interested in what God is saying and doing. You begin to pursue your own desires and dreams and become self-centered. When this happens, your life becomes unfruitful, unfocused, and unfaithful. Now listen to the communion context of scriptures found in 1 Corinthians 11:23-30. For I received of the Lord, which I delivered also unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So we're supposed to be proclaiming stuff all the time. Communion is a time to proclaim the Lord's death, his sacrifice, his suffering for our gain. But we are to sacrifice as well and submit to his lordship. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks of the cups of the Lord is an unworthy man and will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That means we're not interested. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. See, we see here, in a sense, the admonition from the Lord by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to not get disinterested in his promises, his prophecies, his power, and his provision of restoration. See, Jesus paid it all in his death on the cross, his burial and resurrection from the dead. This is a cup of blessing, according to his word. Not a cup of cursing. Not a cup of strife. See, restoration is a part of communion. The cup and the bread. This is my body, which was broken for you. This is the New Testament ratified and established in my blood. Hallelujah. Restoration is a part of our covenant and the renewing of our covenant in Christ. See, he cautions us from devaluing, deappreciating, and debunking his great plan of redemption and his great mercy toward us in partaking communion in an unworthy manner. In other words, being and behaving disinterested. See, this is just not a religious meal or snacks of crackers and juice, but it's literally the meal that heals. It's the restoration table of the Lord. It represents the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and positions us for a major turnaround and a major restoration in life. So when you look at this table, you say, I'm receiving major turnaround, major restoration in my life. Because the Lord is turning my captivity and he's restoring all things back to me. This table screams and shouts, be restored. It declares to us, it's not over. See, you become discouraged when you start to believe that what God told you is never going to happen. It looks impossible. It looks as though the ashes of your life, as you look at them too long, Satan will convince you that you cannot build it back. You're dissatisfied anytime you compare your waiting season to someone else's due season. You become dissatisfied while waiting for God to bring it to pass, his promises in your life. If you continue to focus on the dissatisfaction you feel, you'll give up on God's plans. You'll try to make them happen on your own strength. But God's timing is always better than ours. Somebody say amen. Amen. In Haggai, the word Haggai just simply means festive spirit. So God sent the prophet Haggai to bring joy back to the people so that they can build the temple. Why is God trying to restore us? Why did he prophesy and promise to restore us? So we can get joy back. Remember, one of the Psalms says in Psalms 51, restore unto me, 51:12, the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with your generous spirit. And he said, then I will teach sinners your ways and transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. See, a lot of times people don't share their faith or share Christ with others or witness to people. But why? Because the joy of God's salvation in their life is down. But you need to have your joy restored back. So you don't go a whole week without inviting somebody to church or telling somebody about Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. If there's any of you, anything you need when you're disinterested, discouraged, and dissatisfied is a word from God. And this is our word from God. You got to surround yourself, create a festive spirit in your home, rejoice boldly and cheerfully, and lead cheers of restoration. And lastly, don't get offended at God. What's Satan's ultimate purpose in stealing from you? Why does he steal, kill, and destroy and devastate your things in your life? Because he wants you to get you offended at God. Oh, you can tell. People don't praise God. It's all put on. It's not genuine. It's not authentic. You hadn't been in his presence at the house, so you can't get in his presence in public. Amen. And he does this to delay our victory. Because when you're offended at God, you're not in his presence. We read that opening scripture, Acts 3, 19 through 21. Times of refreshing come from what? The presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. See, his and in his presence positions, if you're not in his presence, you're not in position for restoration. So that times of restoration of all things can occur. But you can't be refreshed until you're in his presence, and you can't be restored until you get in his presence. But if you're offended at God and mad at other people because they help mess up your life, you think, you can't get in God's presence. It's only in his presence that restoration comes. Hallelujah. Ushers, would you come and serve the elements? Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. It's in your presence, in Jesus' name, that we receive Holy Communion today. And we declare that this is our season, this is our time of restoration. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. Thank you, Father God. Now just let the elements pass. We'll all take it together. Guys, if you would.